April 19th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And we're located in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California, and I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by both Go Raw, which makes fabulously healthy and delicious food, and UniverseSpirit.org.
Awakening us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
And you definitely want to check out their new website, Job One for Humanity, that's filled with information about what's happening, what you can do, and, if need be, where you can hide.
Oh, dear.
Tonight, what are we focusing on?
I thought you'd never ask.
That's it. One of our longtime listeners asked, what are we supposed to get out of your program? I thought you'd never ask, I replied. And as it turns out, it's the subject of our evening. But since I've been asked, among other things, our hope in listening to this program is that you would gain a deeper appreciation of the context of our lives so that you can make wiser and more informed decisions. Two, not take yourself or life too seriously. Mm-hmm. Remember, if all else fails, take it personally. The third one, understand human motivations so that you can more successfully deal with yourself and others. And last but not least, have some fun with us. This is fun for us. We've got 40 years of gulp living together.
Just what do you mean gulp?
Well, the gulp represented moments in those 40 years in which it was especially challenging.
What do you mean, challenging?
If you got my email, you'd see a picture of Rochelle and I. In the picture, she says, what is it about me you'd like to change? And my character says, I thought you'd never ask.
And my character would have liked him to be the one who needs to change.
That's part of what we're trying to change, isn't it?
I thought you'd never ask. Yes.
The parts of a relationship that are, like, difficult.
You're supposed to say, I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, I haven't quite gotten into the groove of this topic
yet. Let's get in there.
Let me just finish. How are the two of you qualified to answer these questions, our listener asked? Again, thought you'd never ask. The quick answer, because we asked those questions. Longer answer, as we've learned, one of the great principles of the universe is ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, complain, and you shall be sent to the complaint department. Or words to that effect. I'm not exactly sure how the original Hebrew translation, that was translated from the, not the Greek, but the French that was translated from the Latin, from the Greek, from the, never mind.
Forget it.
I trust that whatever questions you may be bringing to this conversation tonight, we can honestly say with enthusiasm, we thought you'd never ask.
And I thought you'd never ask. Then I never would be able to share the intimacy that makes the bond between us so formidable.
Who?
Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Am I clairvoyant? Able to discern your wishes, your needs, ask, and I shall know your desires, large or small. And lover that I am, I will do my utmost to grant them as I am able.
With these keys I do believe the treasures of heaven Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Yes, everyone who asks receives. Just ask, seek, and knock.
What was the title of that piece?
Ah, I thought you'd never ask. Ask, seek, and knock.
There you go. Okay. But asking, like I said earlier, and like you sort of agreed with me, the asking and seeking. Now, according to the Urantia book, it's a principle of the universe. It's a law. I think they use the word law. It was passed in...
Don't go there.
It was passed in like about the 4 billionth year into evolution. They put it up for a vote from all the emerging phenomena that was there kind of getting to know each other and deciding what it wanted to be, whether it was going to be life or stay as chaos. We had a whole faction that liked chaos and they said, nah, let's keep it chaotic. And then they said, no, let's get some order in here. And then what happened? They decided they needed some laws. And the first guy said, well, people are going to want to know stuff. And he says, all right, let that be the first law. Ask and then make sure they find it. But it's not enough just to ask. You have to do the ask and the seek. And as it turns out, you have to do a little bit of knocking, too.
I never heard the knock thing before. That definitely was made up someplace else.
Well, that came along in like the 7 billionth year. They added that to the law. It was an amendment passed by the order phenomenon of the universe.
I wish you could hear my eyes roll.
We should create a sound for that.
But it's seek and you shall find. This is what you have to do in order to find something. In order to receive something, you have to ask for it. I mean, that's the way I interpret that, not what you just said.
What was the difference?
I don't know, but I never thought you'd ask that question. Let me see.
So I get ready.
I didn't have an answer quite ready for that because I couldn't remember what you said. So that makes it bad.
See, and more we'll be saying to each other, what did you just say?
I thought you'd never ask.
See how that works? Rochelle can't laugh anymore because she coughs. She's just getting over this weird allergy.
An allergy to oak. But it has a short season.
I went to the doctor yesterday to check on my possible fourth hernia situation. They asked me, are you allergic to any medicines? And I said, I thought you'd never ask.
Did she appreciate that? Probably not. Well, the difference is this. In order to find something, you have to seek. In order to receive, you have to ask. So it's not like ask and you what? Will you receive or not receive? If you don't ask, you won't receive.
So it's a twofer. You got to do both. You got to both the ask and the seek. If you leave one out, that's critical because you ask. You say, okay, can we have some better quality life in some form, however that sentence might show up? The universe says, oh, I thought you'd never ask. But since you did, what I suggest is you get off your duff and look for it because you need to kind of earn it only because it will increase your appreciation when you find it.
It'll increase your appreciation when you find it. That's a nice way to look at things. So in other words, this action comes before receiving, this action of looking for and asking for. These are actions that you have to take in order to get to these things.
But it doesn't stop there, evidently, because you've asked, you've sought, and then, you know what that does? I thought you'd never ask. That brings you up to a door. And it's that door you have to knock on.
Where does knocking come from? I never read knocking in the Bible.
It is. Well, it's one of the Bibles, in one of the translations. I think it was the
Are you making this up?
I thought you'd never ask. Let me finish. It was the translation from the... Whoops, I missed that. But it just raises a lot of questions. So what questions do you want to ask? Let's hear from Chris Rice, because he's got some questions for Heaven.
Sun in my eyes, swat that clumsy fly, woke me up from a dream about heaven. I'm smelling coffee downstairs, yawn a quick little prayer, and get up at a quarter to seven. Mirror catches my stare, got some nice pillow hair, and I smile all the way to the bathroom. Scratch my whiskery chin, now my cranium swims with questions I can't wait to ask you. Like, why did you bother with so many stars? Do you ever play tricks on the angels? And what happened to all of those dinosaurs? Where's the garden? Guess in heaven I'll learn, I'll be waiting my turn to ask about quasars and feathers. I hope the line isn't long, I hope your patience is strong. It's a good thing forever's forever. Make you laugh, what's your favorite cartoon? Can you tell me what's out past the edges? What about UFOs, chase buds and tornadoes? Why do we dream? Oh, and what causes deja vu? Time to call it a day, time to turn off my brain. It's already 11:30. I reach to turn out the light, close my sleepy eyes. I'll save up the questions for heaven. I'll save all the questions for heaven. I'm saving up questions for heaven.
Chris Rice, questions for heaven. Those are good questions.
I thought one day that we become wise when we say why as many times as possible.
Well, that's why the two words go together. Actually, Professor Umbridge, could you talk to us about that? Because we've talked about this before, about the why is the why thing. I thought you'd never ask. Of course, delighted to be here. Because I love the way they work together. If you ask the why, why is the first part of wise. Of course, when it's the why, you have to have this sound in front of the WH. That's different than the wuh sound, which is the Y sound. But they're related, very closely related. They were separated at birth, but they are actually not identical twins, but they look enough like twins that you'd probably need a dictionary if you wanted to tell them apart. But having said that, so you ask why, and then reasons appear. Speaking of the Bible, you may recall that wonderful passage way back at near the beginning of it. It says, in the beginning was the reason. That's actually the original translation. So you don't ask why, you go back to the beginning. And in the beginning, you have the reason. And the beginning is always at hand because it's always beginning. At the universe, life, each moment, begin, begin, begin. Oh, la-di-da. I love that about it. Don't you, Rochelle?
I thought you'd never ask. Yes, I do. I love every moment of every moment. There's so much juice. I have a friend who used that word, juicy, and I love that she uses that word. There's so much juice in the moment. If we've asked the questions in that moment, the next moment is filled with answers.
Can we talk about juice?
Yes, I thought you'd never ask.
Juice, like what makes it juicy? When you think about juicy, it brings up certain sensory orientations to me, as in phenomena that are once stimulated begin to manifest sensations through the electrical chemical system that create a sense of heightened awareness and arousal, and indeed a greater sense of expectation for this onslaught of powerful energy, dynamic impulse that hits you all at once, otherwise known as an orgasm.
What makes you you?
Thought you'd never ask.
You can turn anything into an orgastic awareness.
I'm just so taken with orgasm as a phenomenon. I just think it's great.
It is a phenomenon. Think about it.
I don't want to think about it as much as have it. That's the one thing about it. Have you ever tried to describe an orgasm?
I thought you'd never ask. No. It's almost impossible. I mean, one tries to poetry and prose and writing.
Music.
You try to get to that place where you have such a heightened sense of something, and then it can't go any further. It just explodes. It does what it does, and then it disappears.
Here's a question for you regarding that, like music. What are some of the best endings of great pieces of music that like, oh, that are just so orgasmic, where they just really end on an explosion?
Well, there's all those classical music, they almost always end in the same way.
Or another thing is on Broadway, how many dancers end with their hands up in the air?
I thought you'd never ask.
Do you know?
No.
Oh.
I couldn't count. It's something somehow I've never researched, nor did I ever feel like I wanted to research it. But it's fun to think about it.
Barney, what do you say about this subject? I thought you'd never ask. I've been sitting outside there, and admittedly I was having a brew, a cold one, because it gets my psyche and my mouth sort of working together. Depends on how many I have. But when you ask about asking, well, that just makes me want to just go right up to that door you were talking about and ask myself, what is that door? And I says to myself, I thought you'd never ask. But since I cooperate in the asking and the answering with myself, what I was able to determine was that the door is grace. It's like a grace note. Talking about music, but it's the opening of the door that says, come on in. Yeah, you can have it. It's like you've done your part. You've asked, you've sought, you've struggled, you've maybe suffered, a lot of you suffered. You paid your dues, and you get up to the door, and one more thing is required of you. You got to knock on the door. You got to let them know you're there. That you want in.
Barney?
Yeah.
Is it possible that seeking and asking is knocking?
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, I did.
That is so good. The seeking and the knocking is the asking and the knocking. And that's why they came up with the term knocked up.
Oh,
No. Just bear with me here. Knocked up. Where did that come from? Knocked up is because at a certain point, the guy asked, and he was like, not just asked, he sought, and then she opened the door for him, And she got knocked up.
I can't hear it. Tonight is a sexual program. But, you know, in England, they use the word, when you come to visit somebody, they say, knock me up at 4 o'clock, meaning knock on the door. So it's not have a sexual connotation at all. So there you go.
But that's why I never wanted to go to England. You take away that connotation for me, babe, and it's, what's left? To knock you up at the door. But again, there's the door. So what did you think the door was, Rochelle?
I thought you'd never ask. Okay, the door. If I ask, I'm knocking at the door. If the door is the limit so far of my awareness. By seeking, I get to open that door and go beyond the awareness that I have in this moment and move to the next moment, which enriches my awareness, which opens my consciousness. So seeking does that and asking does that. And they are knocking. They become the knock.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Behind the door. Behind the door who?
So that is seeking. It's the same thing as knocking. I'm just adding that to the mix.
Would you like to hear about something that happened that I did that I've never told you?
I thought you'd never ask. Wow. Right? Yeah.
I wrote this play. It's like a one-act play in college. And it was about a guy standing one side of a door, wondering what was on the other side. And the play was called Nothing. Kind of like the no-name bar in Sausalito.
Was that your nihilistic phase?
Oh, I really wanted to know the question. The door being death, of course. As a matter of fact, that led me to write this performance piece, my employer. Well, it's the end. It's like the door. It's like you walk up to that point and things stop. You know what I'm talking about, Father O'Malley? I thought you'd never ask. It's one of the things you'd think people would ask the most for. And that is, what happens when we get to what appears to be the end? Or, is it the end, Father, they say to me. Well, it's as far as it gets at that point. Let's put it that way. But is it the end? No, I don't think it's the end. Now, some people might say that you live on in the memory of those who are affected by your life. And they're right. That may or may not be so good, by the way. But then, what about the possibility of the never-ending you? Once you realize who you are, that you are the love that never stops, and you're just a little point of view in that love that never stops, you realize you can't stop. So, I'm so glad you asked the question, because I think it's important for people to know there's no stopping to it. It just keeps going. Unless, of course, you don't want to keep going, and you always have the choice. Then you'll be asking, can I stop if I want? And the universe will probably say to you, I thought you'd never ask.
That's a good point of view.
It's very helpful to people. So there you have it.
Well, that's not a question, so I can't say. I thought you'd never ask.
I got a question. What would you like to change in me?
I thought you'd never ask. Oh, God, that's so
sweet.
See,
I opened myself up so you saw in the picture, uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. So here's your chance now. In front of a live audience listening, what would you like to change? Oh, my God. Go.
I think I'd like you, everybody probably feels this way, is I'd like to change the way you see me.
Wow, that was a surprise. So if you asked me...
Well, what would you like to change in me?
No, you're supposed to ask, how do you see me? Come on, go with me here.
How do you see me?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. See how it
No, but that wasn't the question that you asked me.
Okay, erase that last thing, then, and we'll move on to something, to the other one. You never answered the question. You never
I
said,
did.
Oh, that
you
was
said,
it. Change the way I see you.
You said, what would I like to change in you, not see you?
Got it. And you asked me what?
I asked you the same question, and you told me it should be a different question.
Oh, so I'll go back to I thought you'd never ask, whatever the question was. I'm glad it was asked. Changes in you. Well, we start off by seeing if we could get you a few more inches in your height.
But that's impossible.
Oh, there you go.
One has to be aware that you can't ask for things that are really impossible in the universe. I think it behooves us to be a little bit intelligent about what we ask for, to realize that we should ask for that which is possible rather than ask for that which is impossible.
Okay. I'm not sure which one this is. You'll have to tell me. And that is, can you be more patient?
I thought you'd never ask. I don't know.
Does that fall into the possible or the impossible?
No, it's possible. It is possible because as I become more aware of my impatience, I become more patient with myself, and therefore it's easier for me to be patient with you.
Let me follow up with this question. Is it likely?
Well, that's a whole other question that I thought you'd never ask. Is it likely? Why not? I'm still alive. I'm still growing. I'm still becoming more aware every day. Why shouldn't it be? I am willing to have that happen. So there.
We talked about that last week, didn't we? A little willingness, how important that is.
I do know about the willingness. Yes, I thought you'd never ask about the willingness.
I was listening to the transcription of Yeshua's talking about will and responsibility. One of the things that I remember him saying was, people have this thought that to do like God's will is denial of your will. God desires nothing more than that you use your will. Because will is what makes things happen. Will is how you coalesce potential, which resides in spirit, and bring it into manifestation in form. Go for it. Use that will. Flex it. It's a muscle that needs to be used. And you know, be smart enough that when your will takes you up against a door that not only won't open but bangs you in the head, have enough sense to turn around and try another direction. What would you do if you got up to that door, Rochelle?
Well, I thought you'd never ask. I think that there's different ways to interpret will. Like there's the willfulness of somebody who just wants it their way and will not stop until they get it their way. And then there's the will that takes us to greater mountains, let's say, to greater vistas, to greater awareness. It's what do you will? That should be the question, rather than whether you have will. We all have will.
Here's another thing that he said about it. Will is the future tense of to be. What do you think of that?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. In fact, I never thought you'd ask.
Never even knew it was a question. So there we are being, and here's the perspective that I think is really useful. Right, Rabbi? I thought you'd never ask. Is this perspective useful? Hey, my God, it's like, is gefilte fish useful? Well, you better have it. Is it the matzahs that are useful? They're delicious. It's a very important thing that you should have that and you should have these questions. And one of the things I would like to point out to you at this time, that this is in Judaism, it is a big time for questions. And you know what? How many questions there are? I'll tell you how many questions there are. If you just listen, please. Here we go.
חמץ ומצה, חמץ ומצה. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, כולו הוא מצה. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, כולו הוא מצה. מה נשתנה הלילה הזה מכל הלילות, מכל הלילות, שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים, בין יושבים ובין מסובים, בין יושבים ובין מסובים. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, כולנו
מסובים. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה, כולנו מסובים.
So, the four questions. Passover, which is coming up right away. So you wouldn't want to miss the opportunity. Like, why would they have matzah? Remember that?
And now the leader replies.
Oh, my goodness.
Beginning with the history of slavery, he says, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now we are free.
So it's about freedom. It's symbolic of freedom. Why do we, like, eat matzahs? There wasn't enough time to make yeast to making the bread. Why did they recline instead of sitting, which is the last question? It's because the nobility of the people that reclined. And so by reclining when they ate, they were acting like the noble beings that they really were, that they were just about to find out, having been slaves. That's what we're being offered. There are a couple other questions, too. How come my brother Benny gets a bigger piece of gelt than I get? Because on Passover, you hide the matzos, and then when the kid finds the matzos, you give him gelt. In case you don't know, gelt is money. It's a wonderful thing. So ask me something else.
I don't know anything else.
Anything, just so I can say.
I thought you'd never ask.
Thank you, yes. I don't ask myself, Rabbi, what makes you feel so confident about everything, like with God and all that? I thought you'd never ask.
I want you to ask Errol a question.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Here we have this rabbi, and there was a rabbi that you are fascinated with. And what is your fascination with the rabbi called Yeshua?
I thought you'd never ask. I had what I felt was a personal experience of this quintessential presence, a direct encounter, living right there in my face. Hi, how are you? Shook hands. The door opened. There he was, as an experience. I was prepared for that experience by all these things I read about him. Keep in mind that Yeshua, when I first heard about him, being a Jewish boy that I was almost anathema to me. I remember saying to somebody once, don't give me this Jesus Christ stuff, and I was angry. But somehow that presence broke through into my consciousness because I did seek, I did ask, I wanted to know, is it possible to break through the illusion of the time-space limitation, otherwise called death, and step into something that was a little more ongoing. I can say that the universe met me, and it wanted to provide me somebody who could offer me a firm handshake, and that was Yeshua. Because what I've learned is that every time I shake anybody's hand with warmth and good intent, I am shaking the hands of the very being that was able to embody Yeshua to such a full, robust, and joyful degree.
In other words, your fascination with Yeshua is that he's your teacher. Say that was true?
I thought you'd never ask. Having said that, I don't know that that's my fascination. I'm not sure that fascination would even be the word that I would use.
But you didn't ask the question. I did. I used the word fascination.
Well, I gave you my best answer at that moment. What about you? What's your fascination with Yeshua?
Like you, I had an intimate experience. I heard this voice in my head that said, I am your teacher and you're to have no other. That was pretty amazing. And I didn't want to follow in a religious way, and I didn't want to identify myself as anything. And the voice said, I will love you as you are. I will teach you the way you're teachable. Those are the words.
Good distinction.
I will teach you the way you're teachable.
Isn't that a good distinction?
I thought you'd never ask that question. Yes. That is a good distinction. Because to be taught, there's so many teachers to draw from. to move oneself forward on the planet, that when I opened myself up to all the teaching that could work for me, that spoke my language, I felt seen and I felt heard and I felt appreciated and I felt like I could move forward with all that.
So your questions that you were consciously and probably unconsciously asking
were constantly being met and still are to this very day. Some people think about it as prayer, and maybe it is, because my question is always about how do I connect with myself and others? How do I make that connection that allows me to know the fullness of the experience of in relationship?
How do you make that connection, Rochelle?
I thought you'd never ask that question. Ooh, I like that.
Actually, I thought you'd ask. That was the thing I thought you'd ask. And it's such a great question. It's important to ask great questions. Questions are vital. While you're thinking about it, speaking of questions, this is Asa.
Tell me how many women childhood dreams come to pass. Tell me how many movies turn out real. There are so many questions, questions I like to ask, so you can understand exactly how I feel. Tell me how many people wish they were someone else, someone that thinks the world wants them to be. Tell me how many babies will be born just to die, leaving me with these questions asking why. Tell me how the trees whisper, how the birds learn to sing, and how does the rainbow stay the same. How do bees make their honey out of their learn to sting? Can a broken heart get back to heal again? How do people get so busy they don't find time to love? What's the truth behind why people go to war? Why is there so much religion, yet there's so little love? Will I ever get to know the truth someday? Where's the youth who's gonna dare? Where's the elder who really cares? Why do people believe things to know? When you look into the mirror, who do you see? Why do we have to grow to be wise?
And that was Asa, A-S-A. And the song was Questions. And the last lyric goes, where's the youth who's going to dare? Where's the elder who really cares? Why do people believe things they know aren't true? When you look into the mirror, who do you see? Why do we have to grow to be wise?
I thought you'd never ask.
Speaking ask. I've got a question for Senator Beauregard, and that's, they talk about reaching people. We've got these intense interest in elections that are going on now, and I know, you know, you're a politician. But who do we need to reach, and how's the best way to reach them to really affect some real change in our culture? I thought you'd never ask. Well, I am glad you did, because it's the dark horse of this here country. And that is, people are aiming the activities and the information in a population segment, a demographic, as they say. that's not very capable of actually making the changes that it is that the people are asking them to make. They can't make it. And they don't say, I thought you never asked that. They don't want to hear from you because they want to stay pretty much entrenched in what is. Because even though what is may or may not be working, probably better than what you don't know about. So people want to keep their mind closed. Now, you want to know who the group is that you need to be talking to make these changes? Well, I never thought you'd ask that either. That group is youth. That's right. Pretty obvious, isn't it? Does that deserve a duh, Rochelle?
Oh, duh.
Thank you very much, sweetheart.
I want to play my part.
It's a duh, because if you want change, you have to be educated to make the change. Be honest with you now. Let me all ask you out there now. How many of you, the people you know, are ready and eager to be educated into a new perspective, a new way of looking things, versus how many people do you know are pretty much happy with their point of view, even if it just creates more suffering for them?
I thought you'd never ask that question, but you did, and I'm willing to answer it.
Well, go ahead there, sweetheart. Well, you answer.
I'm willing to answer in this way. People have to be willing to change, not willing to have change or accept change, but they have to be willing to change. Until we, as human beings, are dissatisfied with the moment we're in, we don't change ourselves for the next moment. We say we want things to be better or different, but we don't want to make that change within us to have that happen. And I would like to know, why do you think that is part of human nature?
Well, I thought you'd never ask that. But since you did, the reason it's part of human nature is there's such a strong need to be able to control things, to ward off the bad stuff that could be coming down if you don't keep it under control. So that goes right against the whole idea of receiving, which is the second part of the asking part. Because in order to receive, you have to let go of control. And even though your point of view may be killing you, at least you have the illusion that you can control it. Do you agree with that?
I thought you'd never ask that question either, but yeah, I do agree. I do believe that our need to be in control is what we believe forth of death.
I don't know. What are you trying to say?
Well, if you're in control, then you can control whether you live or die. That's the ultimate control. So to practice controlling every moment of your life is the illusion that you can control your own demise and not have it happen. Remember, we saw in the intimate lives of the Roosevelts, and Teddy Roosevelt died in his sleep, and his granddaughter said, it's a good thing he died in his sleep, because if he were awake, he would have fought God and not died. So there's that sense of, if he was in enough control, he would escape death. And I think that's one of the reasons why control is such a large part of our human condition, because they would have been programmed to survive, to not die, even though it's inevitable. But we've been programmed to do it for as long as possible so that we can keep breeding and keep getting more people, and the human race will survive.
I wonder, did you ever think that maybe that the big, what was going on all this time was the universe was asking for you?
Ducks ass, the eagles ass, and the buzzard ass. went on down to the deep blue sea, and they all asked for you.
Who?
They all asked for you.
Me?
Well, they even inquired about you. I went on down to the deep blue sea, and they all asked for you.
Me?
The shark asked, the whale asked, and the barracuda asked you too.
That was the Meters, that all asking for you. So if someone came up to you and said, could you be the answer? And you said,
I thought you'd never ask.
And then what would you say?
I am the answer. For me.
I have to share a poem that I wrote many years ago. It's called Old Tapes. They were two. I was one. Confused. Accepting them. What they said. Why shouldn't I? They were bigger. I had no experience. Just a child wanting to please. And not knowing what questions to ask. Please, Mom and Dad, tell me the questions. What do I ask of life? They didn't know. All they had were the answers. It makes it so sad. They never seemed to have the questions. And now I look upon my child and begin the process of letting him go, of letting go of my fears of his questions, so that he can be more. Questions that I haven't even thought of. So all my answers must give way to better questions than they can be the answers for. Did it get your mind going?
I thought you'd never ask.
Where did it have it go?
Well, it just needed to soak in the progression of that.
While you're soaking it in, I would like to remind our listeners that this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Our sponsors are Go Raw, fabulous food. When you go to Go Raw and you say, how good is this food for you? You're going to get such a big, I thought you'd never ask from them.
So you go there by going to goraw.com.
Yeah. I happen to have the additional benefit of being walked through their factory. And like there's this row of shelves in this temperature-controlled room. Big space, and all these seeds are sprouting. And they're sprouting together. I tell you, they're the happiest seeds I've ever seen. They're so sprouting. It's like they're waving their sprouts at each other. And they're all going, wow, we're sprouting.
We hope our children are like that too, don't you think?
Sprouting, yes. We hope they are sprouting.
And us too.
And our other sponsor is
Universe Spirit, and Universe Spirit has been doing some amazing work informing the public about climate destabilization and what it means and how it was caused so we can understand the effects and do something about it. Certain things may be too late to do anything about, but we do know one thing. We're very resilient human beings. We may be stubborn and we may be a lot of things. When we're truly faced with something, we start making different decisions. And we make them not out of our egos. We make them out of necessity because it's our lives that depend on.
Speaking of that, it seems to me that what it takes to galvanize that kind of human effort is having an enemy. We haven't matured enough to the point where we as a civilization, enough to be motivated by something we're deeply and profoundly attracted to. We seem to be motivated, especially in terms of joining and overcome our natural resistance to each other, by having a common enemy. Think about it.
You want me to think about it? I'd say I thought you'd never ask.
Would you think about it?
Yeah, because one of the things we haven't done is realize that we are our own enemy.
But to get to that point, that's a big leap of consciousness. The weather, if it gets serious enough and impactful, then that could be the common enemy. Better than that than some other guy down the street.
The thing is that climate destabilization will affect weather, but it affects so much more. It affects our food chain. It affects the oceans where food is. It affects how we receive that food. It affects life, period. I don't think we get that it will increasingly affect our life.
So with regard to that, Rochelle, what's the most important thing that I need to be recognizing or realizing regarding climate change?
That you'd never ask. You go to...
Job one for humanity.
And find out or do research. Really pay attention to what is going on in the world in terms of destabilization. Volunteer. Be a part of it rather than apart from it.
And make a commitment to yourself to become more stable.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah?
That was neat.
It seems to me, make a commitment to yourself to be more sustainable.
That's right. So we are the ones that have to change.
We have to be more sustainable. Myself, I have to sustain myself with more wisdom and understanding of what it is. First of all, who's the self that I'm sustaining? Why would I want to even sustain that self?
I thought you never asked.
So why?
I have no idea.
Come on. That's cheating.
Because you're fun. Because you bring laughter into my life. That's one of the things I would not want to change.
And one of the things I would not want to change about you, Rochelle, is... Just a minute. Let me think.
Oh, you're going to... You're terrible.
Hold on. That's a minute. I know it's there. It's okay.
If he's not here next week, you'll know why.
It's your sweet, adorable nature.
Oh, he gets pluses for some things.
Anybody that knows you have a sweet, adorable nature. Of course, they don't live with you, in which case they could see what keeps that sweet, adorable nature in balance from just flying off and just being always sweet and adorable. I mean, who'd want that?
So that's why Errol is in my life. He keeps me grounded. He keeps me stable. He keeps me from flying off into the universe.
Now, see, I always thought you did that to me because I'm always flying off. Remember, I leave something before it's done and move on to the next thing and forget what I went on to and why I left the last thing before it to get to the next thing. Is that right?
In fact, after 40 years of being with you, Errol, I realized one day that I was your pooper scooper.
Rochelle, would you say more about that?
I thought you'd never ask. I saw the elephants once in a circus, and there was this man going behind the elephants with a big bucket and a big like shovel. And he was scooping up the elephant's poop and putting it in the bucket. And one day I realized that Errol's like that. He leaves things around. Could choose to get very annoyed with somebody, but you know, it's prioritizing what works in a person's life. And he makes me laugh.
Well, we've got to tie it off now tonight. So we're about to close up shop. So what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
I thought you'd never ask. Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.